wonderful it is that Jesus cares for me. Coming from his home on high, into pain and sorrow, poverty and woe, on Calvary's cruel cross for me to die. Saving grace, thus to supply for me. Oh, what love, oh, what love. Evermore I'll sing it, oh, what love. Not by works of righteousness which I had done, but through grace he sets me free. I could not by merit hope redemption's door. Salvation was his own free gift to me. Will he then not keep me all my journey through? Yea, unto life's latest hour. Never would I doubt him, for his promise sure is both for saving and for keeping power. Oh, what love that he should die for me. Saving grace thus to supply for me. Oh, what love, oh, what love. Oh, what love. Oh, what love. Oh, what love. Evermore I'll sing it. Oh, what love.
Thank you, Brother Bruce. That was a blessing. Open your Bibles to two verses of Scripture. First of all, in the Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 8. Then all the way over into the New Testament, John chapter 15. Nehemiah chapter 8 and John chapter 15. Hope you'll be back tonight for the evening service. And then beginning this Wednesday evening at 7:30, we'll start our annual missions conference, and we'll conclude next Sunday night with our victory service. Our goal is to raise in faith promise commitments $420,000 for world missions this next year. And I hope you'll pray about what God would have you to do concerning your part in that. You say, that's a lot of money. But not if all of us will do what God asks us to do. And when it's all put together, it'll meet that goal and go beyond our goal. And I pray that you'll truly seek God's leadership in this matter. For some of you, it'll be the first time you will ever step out by faith and begin to give above your tithes and offerings to your church for world missions. And to those of us who've been doing it a year, or years and years. I think I've been involved in faith promise giving for around 40 years. And it's a new excitement every year and a new privilege every year. And I can certainly attest that God is a God who keeps His promise to those who will trust Him. Now, I want you to be here in those conferences. We've got a special missionary guest every night of our conference. And we'll conclude on Sunday morning with a special missionary guest in the pastor's class. And all of the adult classes will come into the pastor's class next Sunday for that presentation. Now, if you found your place, stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God. And we'll read two verses. First of all, in Nehemiah 8, verse number 10. The Bible says, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet. Now, I read that to my wife often when she tries to put me on her diabetic diet. And I want her to know this is what the Lord says in His book. I think I'll just read that again. Then He said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry. And here's just what I want you to notice today. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. How much do you do for the Lord and there's no joy in it? How much of your Christian life knows no joy? Well, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Then over in John chapter 15 and verse number 11, Jesus said, these things, and I don't have time to go into these things, have I written or have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Now, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Lord is talking about joy in the Christian's life. And this morning I want to speak on the subject, how to be a Christian full of joy. How to be a Christian full of joy. Boy, so many Christians are going around acting like they're not even saved. They go around with the mully grubs. They never live on a level where they can praise God for anything. They're always struggling, wrapped up in themselves and the world, and complaining. But that's not the God we serve. The God we serve wants to lift us to the plane where we'll understand the joy of the Lord is our strength, and He has promised us His joy and that our joy might be full. Are you a Christian full of joy today? If not, then I want to tell you this morning how you can be sure you can have it. Father, help me today as I bring this message. Fill me with Thy Spirit. And help me say some things to help our people, many of which are going through difficult times. And help us to realize that God is still good on tough days as He is on good days. He's still good when the sun's not shining, or when the sun is shining, the birds are singing. Help us learn to rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord, the Bible says. Now, I need your help as I bring this message in Jesus' name. I ask you to save every unsaved person in this congregation today and on this property where the gospel is being preached. And then I pray you do a work in our hearts where all of your children can learn to rejoice in the Lord as you tell us to. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Our text verse, Nehemiah 8:10, tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You thought it was your good looks, didn't you? You thought it was your intelligence. You thought your strength came to you through your talents and abilities. Or you thought you were strong because of your great intellect. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's absolutely no such thing as a strong Christian without this special ingredient called the joy of the Lord. Over and over again, in fact, I think six times in the New Testament, our Lord tells us that it's His will that His children might enjoy full joy, that our joy might be full. What is this joy of the Lord, this full joy? What does it mean to have the joy of the Lord and full joy? Well, it means that the Christian's joy is to be complete joy and perfect joy. It means that every Christian has available to him all of Christ's joy, and all of the believer's joy can be added together in the Christian's life with the joy of the Lord. Our joy is full. His joy. And my goodness, when that happens, it just overflows our life and affects everybody around us. Most Christians today are miserable in their Christian life. They're ignoring God's word, and they're trying to find happiness and joy in the world. But that's not the source of joy. The only way a Christian can be happy, strong, and full of joy is to sell out to God and His Word. Sell out to Him. Learn to live by His Word, His principles. Learn to do His will and obey His Word. Now let me give you some facts about the joy of the Lord, or full joy, as the Bible says. It's given by God to certain believers. However, it's available to every believer. But only certain ones claim it. Full joy is not living a life of hilarity. It's not a life of practical jokes. That's not what the Lord's talking about. And full joy and the joy of the Lord cannot be counterfeited with poor substitutes by the world. The joy of the Lord and full joy is not dependent on our circumstances. Now the devil works hard over and over again to rob us of this full joy and the joy of the Lord. And without this joy, the Christian life will seem to be a life of drudgery. Every now and then I'll ask the Christian, "How you doing?" He said, "Oh, same old, same old." Well, I'm telling you, I don't have 2 days alike. Thank God for the joy of the Lord. And if you don't know that, you are living the same old. And you don't have to. You don't have to. Without the joy of the Lord and this full joy, Christians will lose their appeal to others around them. Nobody wants a life of drudgery. But this full joy, this joy of the Lord, makes it possible for people to look at us and say, "Man, I'd like to have some of what you've got." And what we've got is really a person, Jesus Christ, who gives us this joy of the Lord and this full joy. The absence of the full joy and the joy of the Lord reveals that we're powerless in our Christian life. Because you're not going to have power with God if you don't have the joy of the Lord and this full joy. You see, the absence of this full joy and the joy of the Lord reveals that the devil has overpowered us, and that Christ is no longer enthroned on our heart, nor are we walking in the Spirit of God. Now, as we live our Christian life in this wicked world, we need this joy of the Lord. We need this full joy. And I want to simply share with you quickly this morning some things the Bible says is necessary if we're going to know the joy of the Lord. First of all, in John chapter 15, 11, we're told that abiding is necessary for Christians to know this full joy. Now the Bible says in John chapter 15, we're to abide in Christ, and we're to abide in love, and we're to abide in His Word. Now that word abide means to continue in that relationship that started when we got saved. Now, a Christian is clean when he gets saved. He is never more right with God in his life than when he gets saved. All our sins are under the blood. We've been born again. We're a part of the family of God. There's nothing between us and the Savior. We are indwelt with the Spirit and filled with the Spirit when we get saved. Now the Bible says, abide in that. Continue in that relationship. Now that statement, abiding, indicates that there's some things we can do down here to hinder that relationship. We're not abiding in Christ when we're living in the world like the world. We're not abiding in the Word of God when we're living by our will and not His will. We're not abiding in the love of God when we're doing unto others before they do it unto us. If you're going to know the joy of the Lord, then the secret is abiding. And He tells us we're to abide in three things. We're to abide in Christ. We're to walk with Him and trust Him completely. When we fell on our face and asked God to save us, we're depending on Him to forgive our sin and give us life everlasting. Well, why stop trusting Him there? If He can take us to eternity in heaven with Him, He can help us in our daily walk. So abide in Christ. Continue to walk in Him. Walk in Christ. Abide in His love. That means we're to continue to walk in such a relationship with Christ that our life can be a channel through which His love can flow from God through us to others. Abide in Christ. Abide in His love. Abide in His Word. It means we're to continue to walk by the Word of God. We're to continue to live by the Word of God. Believe it. Study it. Hide it in our heart that we might not sin against God. And until we learn to stay close and right with Christ and walk in His love and hold to and obey the principle of His Word, we'll never experience that full joy or the joy of the Lord. Secondly, if we're going to know the joy of the Lord and that full joy, then assurance of our salvation is necessary. No one can walk in the joy of the Lord without assurance they're saved. How can a person rejoice in joy, unspeakable and full of glory, when he don't know for sure if he died today he'd go to heaven? And may I say that most of the religious world practice a religion that does not give assurance of salvation. God wants us to know that we know that we know that we know we're saved. He wants us to be 100% sure. With all of the religions going around today, you can't say that anymore. They'd say it, or hey, are you 50% sure you're saved? No, God wants us to know that we know. It's 100% assurance. Born again. And I'm convinced that some of you looking at me and listening to me right now, though you have been religious, you don't know for sure you're saved. You know you don't want to go to hell. You'd like to go to heaven, but you don't know for sure you're saved. When are you going to quit living in that doubt? When are you going to live a trouble with a troubled heart? When are you going to quit doubting God? When are you going to come and just drink at the fountain the salvation assurance that God has for you today? Listen to what he said, 1 John. 1 John, by the way, was written to Christians for assurance. The theme is that we might know we're saved. 1 John 1:4 says, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." You can't have full joy if you don't know you're saved. And then 1 John 5:11 through 13 says, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on His name." Now listen to me, if you're depending on the church to get you to heaven, you're never going to have that full joy. You're never going to have assurance of salvation. If you're depending on your goodness or your works, you're never going to have this joy, because you're never going to have assurance of salvation. The only way you can have assurance of salvation is come to God through Jesus Christ, the Bible way, and by simple childlike faith, put your trust and dependence on Him. And then and then alone, you can have the joy of the Lord. Because you can know that you're saved. And the greatest need of some of you this morning is to settle that matter about your eternal soul. You need to get it settled that Christ is your Savior. And you're never going to settle it until you accept Jesus Christ personally and definitely and individually as your Savior. Thirdly, our security in Christ produces this full joy and the joy of our salvation, our security in Christ. You say, what do you mean? Well, thank God the Bible does not teach us that we can be saved today and lost tomorrow. The Bible lets us know that what God has done for us when we accept Him and we're born again, then we're a part of the family of God, and from that moment on, it's called eternal, everlasting life. There's nothing I can undo, or you can undo, or the devil can undo what Christ has done for us. It's forever salvation. And oh my, the joy of knowing that my salvation is not dependent on me doing certain things and living a certain way to keep it. The fact is, He saved us and He keeps us saved. It's eternal salvation. Assurance of one salvation brings this joy. Believing in the security of the believer means that we know that our salvation is complete and eternal in Christ Jesus. Do you have that assurance? Do you have that security? I believe in the security of the believer because of the completeness of the work of salvation for us by Jesus on the cross. Nothing was left undone. Nothing can be added. Jesus, God in heaven, said, "I am satisfied." Debt's been paid. I believe in the security of the believer because it is a gift and not earned by the recipient. God said, "I've bought it, I've paid for it, and I'm giving it to those who will put their trust in me as Savior." It's a gift. God's not an Indian giver. I'm sorry, Miss Yazzie. God doesn't give and take back. It is eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. It's a gift. I believe in the security of the believer because the Bible declares that it's eternal and everlasting. The Bible declares that it begins the moment I accept Christ and it lasts forever. That gives a lot of security, doesn't it? And you don't have that if you haven't come to God through Christ, the Bible way. Then I believe in the security of the believer because God plainly says so. Look at John 5:24, one of my favorite verses on eternal salvation, assurance of salvation and the security of the believer. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." That word "hath" is present tense. It means the moment you believed on Jesus Christ, God gave you that everlasting life. "And shall not come into condemnation." That's talking about any time in the future. God said, "Now I want you to know, when you trust me, when you believe upon me as Savior, you're saved right now. And there'll never be a time in eternity to come that you'll face condemnation for sin. It's under the blood." And then he goes on to say also, "but is passed from death unto life." That is present tense, right now. The moment we believe, passed from death unto life. Listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 28 through 29. Now, if you don't believe in the security believer, then you don't believe Jesus. You have to believe that he lied here. John 10:28-29 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Hey, explain to me what eternal means. How long is it? What does it mean, "they shall never perish"? "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I simply want to say to you, the security of the believer, believing in that eternal security through Jesus Christ as Savior, provides joy in the heart of the believer and full joy. The security of the believer as taught in the Bible is enough material to fill volumes. It's enough material to preach series of sermons. And I want you to know that security is necessary if you're going to possess full joy. Fourthly, we must be participants in an active prayer life before we can know this full joy. John 16:24 says, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Praying and getting answers provides joy. Now, you say, well, bless God, I can understand if God will give me the answers to my prayer. But let me tell you, that's not just all there is to joy. Oh, yes, I like to get prayers answered. But the thing that's greater to me is there's a thrice holy God in heaven that's touched by the feeling of my infirmities. I know when I get on my knees, He cares, He feels, He knows, and He's able. And that God would meet my needs. He would answer my prayers. Who am I? Just a sinner saved by grace with direct access into the presence of God. And an invitation in Hebrews 4 to come boldly before the throne of God, that we might receive grace and find mercy to help in our time of need. Oh my. What's your joy life like? What's your prayer life like? Fifthly, soul winning is also necessary in the life of a Christian before we can experience full joy. Now, if you know anything about John chapter 15, verses 1 through 16, it deals with fruit bearing. And the fruit bearing he's talking about is the fruit we as Christians produce. Now you say, that's the fruit of the Spirit. No, it's not. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit the Spirit produces. The fruit we produce is other Christians. Just as we plant a grapevine to produce grapes, God saves us and said, I want you to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. That's the will of God for our life. Now, the Bible also lets us know, as we are given to this thing of bearing fruit for Christ, telling people about joy, about Jesus, John chapter 15, verse 11, in the context of this passage, says, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now let me tell you, if you're not telling people about Jesus, if you're not witnessing, trying to get people saved, you're missing some joy out of your Christian life. You don't have the full joy or the joy of the Lord in you. He said, I've written these things to you that your joy might be full and my joy might remain in you. Evidently, they're necessary for us to know that full joy and complete joy. Now, what kind of witness are you? Do you ever talk to anybody about Jesus? You need to learn how to present the gospel. A good way to begin is get your pocket full of tracts and say, hello, my name's Bob Smith, and would you read this gospel tract? It tells you how to get to heaven. Give it to them. You say, well, man, they may not want it. Well, they may too. They may not read it then. They may read it after they get home, but dear friends, I cannot tell you over the years how many of these we get back with people signing them saying, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. That's the way every one of us can begin. And then it would be good if you just look at it and memorize the little verses on here. Not many. Man, you could probably memorize them in a day and a half. Memorize them. You may be without a track one day and on your break at work. Somebody says, man, why are you so different? Well, because the Lord lives in my heart. How can I have the Lord live in my heart? Just tell them. Listen, I can't explain. You know the joy of becoming a parent? Now, let me tell you. There is joy in being a parent. Now, some of you are saying, well, bless God, I didn't want it. Well, you're fiddling around doing things you ought not do before you got married. It's the reason you don't want it. Well, when my babies came, we were excited about it. When a couple's in love and in love with the Lord, it's a wonderful gift from God. And I know some people that have never been able to have them would give anything to have one. They bring joy. But let me tell you, whether you can have children or not, you can have joy from bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. Telling people about Jesus as your Savior. And if we're going to have this full joy, we've got to learn how to be a witness for Him. I've got to hurry. Number six, a proper relationship with God's preacher and His church aids in having full joy. You say, now, preacher, you just stuck that in there. I just happened to find a couple of verses for it too. Philippians 1, 25 and 26, Paul writing the Philippian Christian says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that our rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. It's amazing, folks, when you're living right, you don't hate being around the preacher. When you're living right, you don't hate church. And if you're going to know this joy of the Lord, you're going to have a relationship with a man of God, your pastor, and your church. Some of the most miserable people I've ever met are those that get angry. They get angry at God, they get angry at the Bible, they get angry at the preacher, they get angry at the church, and they leave. And guess what else they leave? They leave their joy. Miserable. John is writing to Christians there in 2 John chapter 1, verse 12. He says, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Preacher says, when the man of God comes and you receive him and you listen and you learn and you grow, it produces joy in the preacher's heart and joy in the people's heart. Full joy. And I'm here to tell you today that if you're a Christian and you don't have a right relationship with your preacher, and you don't have a right relationship with your church, you neither have joy either. Also. Let me finish. Learning to face our trials and testing with Jesus will add to full joy. Now, we're all going to go through problems. Can I tell you something worse than going through problems, tough times? Going through them without Jesus. Oh, dear God, to be caught in a storm and Jesus is not with you. To go through heartaches and sorrows and Jesus is not with you. God is speaking through Peter as he writes to Christians in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. He says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Now, he's talking about Christians going through tough times. He's talking about Christians that have been burnt in Nero's gardens to light the gardens while he had his hellish parties. He's talking about Christians that didn't know who was going to be next. Tied to the stake and doused with tar and flammable substance and set on fire. He said, you're tried with fire that you might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Dear God, they were going through tough times. They were suffering. They were dying. They were being persecuted. They were hurting. They had a right relationship with him and a right relationship with the church of God and the man of God and the people of God. And even though the trials came, they had joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've got to conclude. It is God's will that every one of His children know this joy of the Lord and this full joy. And God wants this joy to be in us, not in spurts, but in a spring of continuous joy. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he says, rejoice evermore. That means about everything. It is God's will that our joy be full and abounding. Do you know this joy of the Lord? Do you know this full joy? If you don't, something's missing in your life. Let's take a quick test. What's missing? Is it a no-so salvation? You don't know for sure you're saved? Is it the lack of abiding? Is it assurance that God is your God and you're His child? Is it security in Christ? Is it the lack of a prayer life? Is it the fact that you don't bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit? Maybe you don't have a right relationship with God's preacher in His church. Maybe you're going through trials and tests and sorrows and you're trying to do it without Jesus and the Bible. If you don't know this joy of the Lord, something's missing. There's a need, and I guarantee you one of the things I've mentioned is a missing ingredient in your life. It may be more than one. I want you to know this is the time for every one of us to do a checkup. Do I know this joy? Let me tell you, if you've got that joy, you didn't get up this morning and say, oh goodness, it's Sunday. Church. Oh, I don't mind Sunday school because in our classes they eat, let us eat. I wouldn't go to that preacher's class where the real spiritual people are. They don't eat in there, just feast on the Word. And you say, man, I got to go set food church. You're a Christian? And that's your thinking? That's stinking thinking. That's not Bible thinking. That's not right thinking. Something's missing. Do you know that full joy? Then I think I'd take time to do a checkup. Because one of these days, you're going to need the Lord. And if you're not walking with Him, if you're not right with Him, when you need Him, He's not going to be there. If you're living out of His will and for yourself, if you're living in the world, if you're living without a salvation and yet you claim to be a Christian, you don't have that assurance of salvation, how foolish can you get? Do you know it takes more effort to live without assurance of salvation than it does to get saved and have that peace in your heart? Why would you fight that? Why would you go through those struggles and those fears when Jesus said, come unto me and I'll give you rest? I'm simply saying today that for God's children, He has full joy and the joy of the Lord, and the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's available to you. Why wouldn't you have it? Why wouldn't you claim it? Why would you go through life living the mully grubs day after day? Why wouldn't you claim Jesus and His Word and His promises and His blessings and His fellowship, His provisions? Oh, devil's a liar. What he gives you is not going to bring you joy. And you see, he says you need happiness, and happiness is the result of happenings. How's things going for you? Go a lot better with Jesus. Today would be a good day for you to come and settle that matter. Some of you today need to come and trust Him as your Savior this morning. Some of you need to get right about some things missing in your Christian life. Some of you need to get right about your relationship with God's preacher and the church. Some of you need to learn how to be a witness so you can begin to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Some of you are facing trials. Some of you are going to face trials. And if you don't face them in a right relationship with Him, it's going to be a tough storm. But in Him and with Him, you can go through those storms and those testings and those trials with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, that's our message this morning. Speak to our hearts. Oh, dear God, we live in a day when people are miserable, they're unsatisfied, unfulfilled. They're not content because they don't have that right relationship with You. Lord, it seems like every year more and more people are in the church, but they don't know that they know that they know they're saved. And there's others in the church believe they're saved, but they don't believe in security. They don't believe in eternal salvation. They think they can lose it. Oh, dear God, if they could lose it, how could they ever get it back? Jesus would have to die again. Help us to realize You have a wonderful life for Your children if we just come to live by Your program. Now speak to our hearts this morning. There's some people that need to get right with God today. There's some people that are unsaved that need to get saved. And there's some people that need to get assurance of salvation. There's some people that need to get into the program of telling others about Jesus. And there's some people that need to get right with their preacher and right with their church. And there's others that need to learn to walk with You day by day so that they can know that joy unspeakable and full of glory even through trials. Now, Lord, You know who we are and what we need. Help us to obey You today. Holy Spirit of God, would You do Your work in our hearts? Right now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed.